This is the Realm of Agape Christian Church.
Oh, hallelujah. We get in our Back to the Basics of Christian Living series.
Thank you.
And we will teach and preach the purpose of this series. Thanking God for all of you. Thanking God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Who rules and reigns. He's trying to revive, amen. And we want to not think in the old days. We get stuck as we are conditioned to the meaning of things. We catch meanings by our observation. And through the years, we hear the word revival. And we think about special services where we invite folk in, all kinds of prophets and prophetesses and such. And they are doing things that are extraordinary, what we are not accustomed to seeing each and every week from the leadership of the assembly. And they come in like a whirlwind. They blow in, blow up, and then blow out. And some of us, as they blow out, our wick is blown out. And we forget of what we came for. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to serve the Lord. Amen. When my shouting is done and I sweat out my pressed hair into an afro, I'm still going to know how to be saved. Thank you, Lord. When I sweat out my clothes, put a hole in the carpet from my stilettos, shouting so much in that spot, I'm still going to know how to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. I will exalt the Lord. I will come together with the others that came to bless his name. We will exalt his name together. His name should be above every name. We think we are a people called by his name. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, we're supposed to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Then God says, I will hear from heaven and will forgive your sin and heal your land. Also in Romans 12 and 1, Paul, by the Holy Ghost, is begging the people of God. I beseech you, therefore. When you see therefore in the Bible, find out what it is therefore. He did a whole sermon on getting it right. Then he said, therefore, brethren, talking to the saved folks, supposed to be saved, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. Cut out all this idolatrous stuff you're doing. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. You can't be holy without being made whole first. Holy. Acceptable unto God. He didn't say social gurus. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service in the King James Version. Reasonable, that means you're supposed to do that after you have been transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's what you're supposed to be doing anyway. In other words, he's posing a question in inference. Since you're saved, you should be doing this stuff. And if you're not doing it, he says, I'm questioning your salvation. So the Holy Ghost today is trying to remind us that he has more than dancing power.
That's right.
He has more than hand-raising power.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Gospel riff-making power. Mm-hmm. There's power, riff-making power in the blood of the Lamb. That's what we seem to be singing. Mm-hmm. There's shouting power, wonders shouting power. In the precious blood of the Lamb. That seems to be what we are singing about. That's what I have caught in understanding as I inferred meaning as far as what is the job of the Holy Ghost. There are folks out here in the world of Christendom. We're promoting the climax of worship, which is a shout and a dance and a tongue. Once you have done those, don't leave one without the other. You have made it in. You are in the status quo. The gurus of Ecclesia have accepted you. You are one of theirs. You are in there. But there's going to come a day when the Holy Ghost shall raise up off the earth.
Ah.
My God, I don't want to be one that's left here.
Yes, God.
My God, I want to be already caught up to meet him in the air.
Yes, God.
Maybe I would have already transpired and said it is finished and gave up the ghost. And maybe my body is rotting in the ground. But my spirit, amen, will be with him. And the dead in Christ shall rise. I want to be one of them in the number.
Yes, God.
Oh, help us, Lord.
Thank you.
But we're not going to get there if we don't do what the auspices of this message is. It's how to be prepared for God's promise.
Yes, God.
Amen. How to be prepared for God's promise. My God. See, the Holy Spirit, yes, he's trying to remind us in this remedial task of how this sermon series is working. He says, I've come to remind you, yes, I have liberating power to free the captives from various weights and powers of sin. That's what the Holy Ghost came to do. He didn't just come to make you dance and show off what kind of, amen, socks you got under your pant leg. I've seen people raise their pant leg and look around and shouting all fancy. It's a shout contest. My God, the Holy Ghost said, I am not proctoring. I am not choreographing a shout fest. I have come to set you free from sin. Amen. And the church needs to become what it should be in God, a safety net, not American Idol. Amen. A safety net. We're supposed to be that, enabling the world to see a holy difference. Amen. And after the Holy Spirit transforms us, we should be enabled to make a difference in this life of storm. Amen. We ought to be a lighthouse. Amen. That looks like a lighthouse. It shouldn't look like the raging sea. No one will readily want to head in our direction if we look as crazy as they look. If we seem to be going through and not being able to make it just like them, are they going to want to run to us? No. This is why the Holy Spirit is seeking to teach us how to be prepared for God's promise. These scriptures have shown us the conditional clauses. In Romans, it is to be inferred, but in Chronicles, it is outright shown right there in black and white, in easy comprehension of the conditional clause. If, then, amen. When I was a computer coder, programmer, we called it back in the day, we had to write programs that had an if-then statement in there. If this and this sum happens in the numeration, then cause this to happen. And that will make the computer do something different, you know, based on what has happened. God has clauses like that in the Word. If my people, amen, supposed to be called by my name, he calls you out of sin. He calls you to service. And in the interim before calling you home, you have to walk in agreement with him. You're wearing his name. Israel in the Old Testament, the wife of God, had to live like she bared his name. Amen. And we, the entrothed bride-to-be, the church of the New Testament, we ought to be living as though we are already in that nomenclature, living the name of God, or are we living some other kind of way? But God is showing us, yes, we have to, amen, follow the creed of what he expects as his will in heaven proposes and instills. If my people called by my name shall what? Come in a humble fashion, very needy, like a baby, crying out. Why I need to be changed? Why I need a bottle? Why you need to wipe me down there because I'm going to get red in a minute down there. Whoa. Baby's crying for a reason. We forget how to cry. We don't cry to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Cry on. God understands your tears. Oh, we got to cry to the Lord. The day you cry out to the Lord in a faithful way,
He's going to hear you, because now you're not regarding iniquity in your heart. You said, amen, all my iniquity could go to hell. I'm going to heaven. I want to see Jesus. So, Lord, come and love all the hell out of me. Oh, cleanse me of all my transgressions. The problem today, we love hell. We think we're going to have a party down there. Mm-hmm. Folks aren't preaching about hell enough.
Right.
Jesus preached mostly about that. Mm-hmm. Thank God. And preached about money a lot, too, because people loved money. And the love of money is the root of all evil. So Jesus knew what to preach on. Mm-hmm. Preached about, amen, sensuality, money, and power a lot. Because people like to have power in the wrong place.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Power should be coming from God.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost power. Lord, send your power. Send it on down. Oh, Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. The Holy Ghost is seeking for us to walk the walk, talk the talk, be transformed, not just acting, not amen or put on, but it's a come on. The Holy Ghost has come upon me, and he has cleansed me. He has consecrated me. He changed me. He liberated me. The chains of sin are broken and destroyed. Amen. So that's what's supposed to happen in 2 Chronicles 7:14. When you do all of that, turn from your wicked ways as though you don't even want them no more. Amen. Then God said, yeah, now you're ready. I can let you have a hearing, like in the court. I'm going to let you have a hearing. I will hear from heaven. See, we enter the gates with thanksgiving because we have humbled ourselves. We come on into the court to be washed, to be made over, and we will hear God and he will hear us. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double mind. And he's going to what? Forgive your sin. Then healing's going to come. Amen. We want the healing before all the other stuff happens. We got it backwards today. God didn't say to do it like that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But we got to do as God wants, according to the protocol of heaven. He has certain endeavors for us to participate in. He wants us to, amen, experience the amazing grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then we could share the amazing grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't have much to share at all. So we're going to try to be the best Christian sinners we could be, to show sinners that you're not the best sinner when, unless you're able to put these masks on that we have learn to wear. You got to be a Christian sinner. Is this what we are claiming gospel is today? That's not the gospel message. Jesus said if someone comes to preach another gospel, it's a cursed gospel.
Yeah.
Amen. We got to amen. Now go back to the meaning of what the gospel is. Then we will be a prepared people. Amen, according to God's promise. Then we won't have to hear begging sermons like I'm doing today. I'm following Paul's tutelage. I beseech you by the mercies of God. You got to know what auspices you are preaching from. What right do you have to tell me that by the mercies of God, that you will present your body? We get ourselves ready for work. We present our body. Amen. Get married and you get your honeymoon going on. You present your body. Amen. Mm-hmm. All of that's right. Mm-hmm. And people do it all around the world. They go to proms presenting their body. Mm-hmm. People on the runway of TikTok and all these other media presentations, they're stripping themselves of most of their dress. And they are what? Presenting their body. They misconstrued the scripture. They say, well, see, the Bible says present your body, so that's why all my tail is out. But that's not what the Lord meant. Thank you, Jesus. Present your body a what? Living sacrifice, not for the devil, because when you do that, you're going to have all your tail out. God said, cover up. Amen. Thank God sin is in the world. You got to cover up. When we get to heaven, we may not need any clothes. But amen, sin came in the world, and Adam and Eve knew just what to do. They had the evil wisdom they needed to cover up. God said, who told you was naked? My God. But we need to stand naked before the Lord spiritually so. We try to cover up and think God don't know we're a hypocrite. We're so good at being a hypocrite in church. When we get in our little prayer closet, we continue our hypocrite ministries and think God's going to be fooled. Be not deceived. God will what? Not be mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. My kids and I sowed tulip bulbs, and we reaped tulips. They come up in the spring every time, unless the squirrels get them. Amen. As you walk the corridors to get into the house of God today, you may have seen some tulips remaining and others that have been, amen, destroyed. The hands of the little squirrels have destroyed them, amen. But this is how it is. Sin comes in the world and wants to, amen, desecrate, pervert the things of God. God is trying to get his church to what? Present their bodies a living sacrifice in a holy fashion. That means, amen, not messed with by sin. Not contaminated, amen. Not, amen, causing now the integrity to be compromised. Thank God. Let holiness be holiness. Jesus said it in John 3 when he was teaching in that night class to Nicodemus. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto you. You what? You must be born again. You're born of the body. You're still born in the spirit when you are born of the body in the flesh. The Spirit of God has to come and regenerate your spirit so that now you can walk and commune with God. Everything within you will bless the Lord. Mm-hmm. You will do exceeding abundantly above what you could ask or think. The Holy Ghost will enable you to do it. And you will think and do and say what is acceptable unto God. And that's what you're going to do because you have been transformed. And the King James says that is your what? Reasonable service. It's amazing that the church has sometimes missed this point. The body of Christ, we're supposed to be, yes, Jesus' church, and we're supposed to be engaged to him. He's the groom of the bride-to-be. In other words, the bridegroom of the saved souls who belong to the Christian church. Saved souls, amen. There are some souls in the building that aren't saved. But we have consecrated them and elevated them with high ecclesiastical offices. My God, we have now said to the Lord, we're going to forego the consecration formalities. You move a little too slow, God. You are a crock pot. We are a microwave. We got to move. You are the cranking record player, and we are MP3s. My God, God's too slow. We got to go, we got to go, we got to go. We got to move how the flesh says to move instead of how the what? Spirit says to move. We got it backwards. We let the body tell the soul what to do since we don't have a spirit. We're born dead in the spirit. When we are born and shaped in iniquity and sin that our mothers conceive us, we need the regeneration power of the Holy Ghost to come in. Now God will reverse that thing. The Holy Ghost will revive the spirit in you. The spirit now will be the boss and tell the soul, soul, amen. I will command my soul to bless the Lord. The spirit of God will come in and commune with your spirit and tell the soul what to do. Put it in the right order. And the soul that's saved will tell the body what to do. Thank God. You don't let the body and the gurus of society, oh, amen, get your body all worked up to tell your soul what to do. The body stuff is now the new meditation for the soul. And we don't have a spirit to control us, so we just run amok and do whatever. But God needs to come in and do a new thing. Breathe freshly the breath of life into you. Wake you up.
Yes.
Clear. Wake you up.
Yes. Yes.
And now your spirit man will now control what your soul needs to be doing. I will bless the Lord. Everything within me will bless the Lord. Amen. Thank God. And then your body will act right. Your body will be covered up the way it needs to be covered up. You won't be in the front of the church jiggling, jingling, and jangling. Thank God it won't be no jello in the front. It'll be zipped up if it's there. Amen. And properly maintained with the proper support according to your individual needs. Hallelujah anyhow in Jesus' name. Thank God. Women, you ought not be showing all that. And men, you too. You don't need to show all them biceps and triceps. Amen. Amen. And we got to watch what we're wearing on these beaches. It's starting to get warm now. The Holy Ghost, amen, did a segue into that. Amen. Stop wearing them strings on the beach. If you're going to wear a string, make sure everything is covering up the string so nobody can see the string. Amen. Thank God they're wearing strings on the beach. They got everything out. Everything out. My God. But they said, I'm saved. If somebody got a problem, they got the problem, not me. But you are a stumbling block, my sister.
Stumbling block.
Hallelujah. You too, men.
Yes, sir.
Look like you wearing a jock strap. Well, that's a bathing suit. That look like a jock strap to me. Thank God. You need to get it right too, brothers.
Right.
You
right.
are a stumbling block.
You are.
Hallelujah. Anyhow.
Yes.
Let's not go on this beach looking like that. The Muslims do a little better. They cover up. They got what they call modesty. The Christians forgot what modesty means. There's a certain scripture that says modest apparel. What happened to that? Amen. We should be shamefaced in the Holy Ghost. Don't show all that. Amen. My father used to say, leave some mystery. Got my father used to say, everybody knows a combination to that lock. It needs to be locked up. Maybe we need to go to the early times when they had knights. Amen. And fighting with the horses and the men would go out to battle, and the wife was left with a special gift. Amen. It wasn't from Victoria's Secret. It was a chastity belt. They had to lock it up. Amen. And the husband had the key. I don't know how they went to the bathroom. That's another message, but I got the dig for that information. But they had to lock it up.
My Lord.
My God, we don't lock up nothing today.
No.
BET said, let it loose. All the networks said, let it loose. Netflix said, let it loose. Amen. My God, Hulu said, let it loose. My God, what are we doing today? We're not going to be prepared for God's promise. Yes, God promised us a whole lot, but there's an if-then clause in the middle. Amen. There are prerequisites. Befitting the protocol of God's heaven. Amen. We need to find out what God wants.
Yes.
Not refashion what we say God should want and then walk therein and be glad anyhow. That's a prideful attitude. God said he hates the proud look for that reason, because you're going to walk down, amen, and hold on to a greased pole that's sliding you right fast down the hill and seem to be happy about it. Matter of fact, we're born and shaped in iniquity. That means we're on death row. And many of us seem to be having services to congratulate each other on that position. But God is saying you need a new position. I want to prepare you the way of the Lord in your heart. And then the Holy Ghost will come in and prepare you for God's promise. This is why we have fellowship in the house of God. Five things. That's the first thing. Fellowship. We need that. We need discipleship. We need worship. We need ministry. And we need evangelism. What is fellowship for? That's for warmth. Amen. And discipleship is to help us have depth. We need a certain kind of holy knowledge, which leads to the right perspective, which leads us to be convicted. People are saying, I'm not convicted. I don't need to do that. I'm not convicted of that. You know what? Conviction is a choice. The Holy Ghost told me that this morning. He said, tell the people that. People like to go around saying that. Well, conviction is a choice.
Uh-huh.
You can choose to be convicted. The day you hear his voice, what? Harden not your heart. The Holy Ghost is always talking. Amen. And plus, he spoke to us when we were created in our DNA. He breathed into us a living soul. And in that breathing, he put, amen, certain DNA for right and wrong. We feel a certain way when we do the wrong thing. My God, God has preached into our DNA enough for us to have a certain kind of wake up when the Holy Ghost comes around. Oh, there's a certain familiarity, but I'm estranged for it. I need to hear what thus saith the Lord. The day you hear his voice, what? Harden not your heart. Let him come in and do some rearranging and some changing. The Holy Ghost is going to be like, whoa, the decor is all wrong. My God, let them come in and rearrange. You shouldn't have that furniture in there. Take that out. Put that in the dump. Here's the new stuff you need. God is going to prepare us for the promise. Amen. So discipleship will what? Give you a depth through knowledge, holy knowledge. Perspective will be holy. Conviction will be holy and lead you to Repent. Amen. Then you're going to have the right skills. Holy skills. Through the giftings of the Holy Spirit. I didn't say the fruit of the Spirit. I said the giftings of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is going to come as your character is developed. See, and letting God mature you. This is the maturity track to facilitate growth in God. You shall increase in wisdom and stature and favor with who? God and your community. God and man. Amen. Folks are going to notice, oh, they are different. You're not the way you used to be. And they immediately give God the glory. Amen. So all of that is discipleship. See, discipleship is a lot. We warm up in a healthy way because the blood is flowing with fellowship. Discipleship, though, will help you grow up, get all your skeleton and your muscles and everything. Now we worship because we're going to get weak. We got to stay connected to God. Worship is for what? We said that last time. Worship is for strength. Amen. What is ministry for? For breadth. For broadening your scope within a specified context or vision. Without a vision, people will perish. Why? Because they're not doing the things of God. We just can't sit in here Sunday after Sunday and feeding ourselves. We're becoming fat babies. Amy Grant wrote a song years ago. She said, we're just a fat little baby. Wah, wah, wah. We want a bottle and we don't mean maybe. And we're not growing because we're not letting the joy leave from us that belongs to somebody else. We think all of that joy is for us. God is an overflowing God. He fills our cup to overflowing. We're supposed to be making spillage in the village. Amen. God is showing me how. When and with whom to fellowship, because you can't go everywhere and anywhere, anytime you want to, with whomever you want to. You should have stepping orders, amen, marching orders, stepping instructions from God. Your steps should be ordered by the Lord if you are the called according to his purpose, that is, amen. So yes, ministry will help you do that. Spread your wings and do some stuff. Amen. Feed the hungry. Amen. The real hungry. Some people hanging out in those shelters. Amen. Because, amen, they did the wrong thing, but they got their little watch on, these fancy shoes, and you try to give them food. They act like that food's not good enough. Is that Starbucks? You know, well, they got the wrong attitude. They're not hungry enough. Amen. I want the real hungry. Where are the real hungry? I want to minister to them. Ministry is that. Thank God. Then you need evangelism. What's that for? Advancing the kingdom of God. Yes. Has to be advanced. We don't just come here every time and learn. We got to go out as the Holy Ghost would have us go out and tell somebody something. Amen. He's going to lead us to the right people at the right time. And when he nudges you, you're going to know in the conversation when God will put it right in your mind. Oh, see that. But if we clamp up, oh, I'm scared. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to say. I don't know how they're going to look at me. So you're afraid and ashamed to own the Lord? That means you're not prepared, amen, for God's promise. Amen. You throw caution like that, the fleshly caution to the wind, and you go for yours in Jesus. And be obedient and watch what God does. Amen. Going to be like Joseph. Amen. His brothers were jealous of him and they sold him into slavery. But no matter how far he went, far removed from society, as society would have it, he blossomed. Because you can't keep cream down. Cream is going to find a way to float to the top. Some of you country folk know what I'm talking about. You used to have the milkman. They bring the milk bottles and the cream would rest to the top. Now they did so much stuff to the cow. The cream doesn't exist in the milk no more. They got chemicals and other stuff in there that they took the real natural stuff out. And now, amen, they put chemicals in there. So you don't have cream rising to the top. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. But they used to, man, take that cream and do some stuff with that. That's why the cakes tasted better back in Mother's Day than they do today. The box trying to replicate it, but the box can't touch what mama used to do from love. Her mama told her, and then she was able to cook for us, and they would be turning that a batter in the bowl. Amen. Mixing it. You don't have a recipe, Ma? It's from love. I remember what mama told me. And they put all it in there. You don't have the timer on the oven? No, I can smell that it's done. I got the timer on. I'm all nervous. Put the timer. Ding, it's ready. If I don't have the time, it'll burn up, my God. I was wondering why my mama, when she visited me, she didn't have the timer. I got nervous. I said, Mom, you didn't put the timer on? How long the cake been in it? She said, don't worry, I got that. She was looking at her show, doing something else. She said, oh, time for the cake. I said, I ain't hear no ding. Or she said, it smell ready. It's ready. Amen. When in the end, it was all big and puffy and ready to come out. Thank God we done forgot how to do things. We let, amen, nature now be changed into man-made stuff. We have moved God out of the way, and we think we know the way. But God is saying that is not true. The Spirit of God seeks to revive us for a new season realm that's before us. We got to get out of this stinking thinking. We got to revive, amen, yesteryear's landmark and move forward and fast in the faith of God. Amen. Second Chronicles is all about revival. Corporate level revivals must begin with each and every one of us. We are lively stones, but we're fit jointly together in a corporate way to move as the local assembly should move according to what the Holy Ghost would have us to do. Amen. We have to become a committed part of this move in our church. Amen. God has something special for you to do as you are connected to me, and something special for me to do as I am what connected to you. Let's look at a quick synopsis of 2 Chronicles 7 real fast. Think of this, fire and glory. What did I say?
Fire and glory.
Think about this, falling and feasting. What was that?
Falling and feasting.
And lastly, promise and warning. What did I say? Thank God. So look, the fire came down as a prayer was prayed by the king, and glory came to dwell in. There was glory at the start of the service in 2 Chronicles 5:14, going back two chapters, and glory at the close of the prayer. But there could be no glory apart from the sacrifices that took care of the sins of the people. Today we have Jesus as our sacrifice, but we can't, amen, make a Play-Doh Jesus and think we're going to be all right. We got to go into the real, amen, call of the Lord and lay our burdens down, amen, at the altar, and let God, amen, revive our spirit and our soul so we could do what God has for us to do. Isaiah saw God's glory, but before he was ready for service, he had to feel the fire in Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. Most of us today, we want the glory, but what do? We resist the fire. We have a form and fashion, but we deny the power. There's a denial of the power of God. Why? Because we have constructed our own God. This is why there's a need for deconstruction, but we're deconstructing the wrong thing. We should be deconstructing that which has become a monstrosity in the midst of God's kingdom. We have called evil good and good evil. We got it all misconstrued. Think about this, falling and feasting. This demonstration of God's power and glory brought the people to their knees. They humbled themselves before God. When God's real presence comes, you're going to fall at his feet. You're going to fall. Amen. Lay down flat on your face. And you're going to say, my God, I'm unworthy. Amen. Oh, I'm a person of foul lips. How can this holy God want me? But we lay down before him graciously because we know he is our life source. See, when service ended back in this ancient day, they began to rejoice with feasting. Does it seem contradictory? Not in the least. We are to serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling, according to Psalm 2:11. And it was said of Moses and some others, quote, so they saw God and they ate and drank in Exodus 24:11. See, when God gets you right, amen, cleans us up of all of our guilt and shame, then he, amen, does like he does, like he said in Psalm 23. He prepares for me, amen, that banquet eating table, amen. And then we go to Song of Solomon. God's banner over us is what? Love. That banner means it's an army flag. And he's telling the devil, step off. These souls belong to me. I have taken back what you have stolen. Loose your hold. Hallelujah. Then God comes in and delivers us, sets us free, gives us strength from heaven. Amen. And says, come on, the table is spread and it's ready. Come on and fellowship with me. God is always trying to make us chill out and fellowship with him. But we're so busy running away from him to answer hell's call. Because we're born in shape in iniquity and it seems more familiar. But we got to, amen, forego the familiarity, amen, suffer in the flesh so we can what? Cease from sin. Hallelujah, anyhow.
Yes, God.
What about promise and warning? It is very hopeful to know that we can pray in such a way that God will hear our prayers. As revealed in 2 Chronicles 6, 34 through the beginning of chapter 7, he said, I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to take pieces as the Holy Ghost leads me. He says, if your people go out where you send them to fight their enemies, and if they pray to you by turning towards this city, the holy city you have chosen, and toward this temple I have built to honor your name, you know, King Solomon's talking in this prayer, then hear their prayers from heaven and uphold their cause. If they sin against you, and who has never sinned, you might become angry with them and let their enemies conquer them and take them captive to a foreign land far away or near. But in that land of exile, they might turn to you in repentance and pray, we have sinned, done evil, and acted wickedly. If they turn to you with their whole heart and soul in the land of their captivity and pray toward the land you have gave to their ancestors, toward the city you have chosen, and toward the temple I have built to honor your name, then hear their prayers and their petitions from heaven where you live and uphold their cause. Forgive them. And it says further down, arise, O Lord, and enter your resting place along with the ark, the symbol of your power. May your priest, O Lord, be clothed with salvation. Amen. May your loyal servants rejoice in your what? Goodness. Hallelujah. And he gave reference to the servant David, of whose throne he sat on. Then Solomon finished praying, and fire flashed down from heaven and burnt up the burnt offerings and sacrifices. So God honored their worship service. Amen. And the glorious presence of the Lord did what? Filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. You know, when you come in that kind of presence, amen, full-fledged, a presence of God, you could be consumed. Thank God. We can't stand in our earthly right in the heavenly presence of God the way they have seen it. Amen. The way Moses saw it on the top of Mount Sinai. My God. And Moses need not jump into the burning bush. Amen. My God. He stood far near it. Amen. And the Lord spoke from the bush and said, take off your sandals because you all want holy ground. When God touched the mountain became holy. As a matter of fact, there's a part where Moses saw God stepping down in the smoke. He could see the smoke of God. He was covered up with the holy smoke. And when God's feet touched the mountain began to have the foundations of heaven. No more dirt and dust and rocks from the earth. It began to have the precious stones of heaven and all the foundations of heaven. As God touched his feet, it became that. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyhow, that's showing you we can't expect God to change how we want him to change.
No.
We got to change how God wants us to change. The day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You better do what the Holy Ghost said to do. Amen. He's trying to do exceeding abundantly above what we could ask or think. How dare we, amen, forego turning towards him and letting our stiff neck have its day. My God, but God said, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. This is the opening of heaven's window to try to commune and communicate with you. God's goodness has to go in and regenerate your dead spirit. We're born with that dead spirit. We're spiritually stillborn. And God has to wake us up, breathe freshly into us the breath of life. Amen. And make us a living spiritual body. Amen. We are living soul, but we need to be a living spiritual body. And then the spirit will tell the soul what to do. And then the soul will tell the body what to do. Hallelujah. We got it all misconstrued in our modern day. My God. So when Solomon, amen, prayed this prayer, amen, the Holy Ghost fire came down. They had to repent first. They had to get it right first. You can't dance all around your sin, jingling in your tight jeans and barely covered breasts and thinking you're pleasing the one and true living God. Hallelujah. Men, you too. We are scantily clad physically, scantily clad spiritually and intellectually. Our body, soul, and spirit need to get it right. We need to, amen, feed our spirit with the word of God. God said, amen, meditate day and night. But we rise to play too much today. My God, we barely want to pray. God is saying, can you pray yet an hour? My God, and this is each and every day. My God, can you read the word? Can you meditate on it day and night? Hallelujah, and in between. Can you do that? Can you let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus? Yes. We're not going to have the fire fall from heaven. We're just going to think we, you know, had a good time because we sweated out our clothes and we picked them up and put them down and did our two-step in the Holy Ghost, some in the Holy Ghost, some in the flesh. And then we could say we had church. I hear some, amen, they express it because of how people speak in tongues and they may have some kind of inclination to hear people say shando, whatever. And then they'll say, like, we had the shando today. My God, I know we're making mockery. I don't see hardly any other religions do that. You don't see the Jews, amen, take whatever they're doing in intimate times with God and then broadcast it all on social media. Look at what we're doing. Look at how we're dancing. Look at what we're doing. Look at how we're speaking with tongues. Christians do that. We make mockery. We need to, amen, stop letting the world see what we're doing in the honeymoon room. The world don't need to see what we're doing in the honeymoon room. Invite them in and let them get right, get married to Jesus, and then they could get in the honeymoon room. We're doing just like the world. We don't need a ring to have a fling. My God, I told the world in high school when we were in the driver's ed, they were trying to pick on me. He's a little mama's boy, a little farm boy. My God, they had a nerve. They were down south with me. Y'all must be farmers too. But anyway, they said I'm wet behind the ears, all kind of stuff, trying to pick on me. While we're doing driver's ed, they're describing their sex acts. Sounding like Ezekiel, who was, amen, prophesying against the children of Israel, expressing what their sex acts were like and how that interpreted in the spirit. Amen. Because they were spiritual harlots. My God. So I had to tell them people when I was in my teenage years, I used to say the preacher stuff. Amen. No ring, no fling. You know, I'm going to stick to that because y'all all around here scratching, going to the nurse. You don't see me scratching and going to the nurse. My God. And I would tell them all that kind of stuff. You got to have some unction, gumption from the Holy Ghost to go back. You can't let folks punk you. Amen. And this social peer pressure. Amen. It even exists in the church. Yes. People are pushing you to speak with some kind of tongue. They want to say your heavenly language. But I tell you, amen, if I'm in my secret closet, that's my business. If God wants me to say a little bit outside my secret closet, so be it. But you don't need to be pushing my intimacy with God. What I do in my intimacy with God is God's business and my business. Thank you, Lord. And you're going to see what God has done. What God and I have done in secret is going to be rewarded in the open because the fruit, amen, will show forth of what sort I am. The fruit, that's the ministry. What kind of heart I have after God. How do I act before, during, and after service? My fruit, amen. You got preachers with a bad attitude, getting people in the prayer line and smacking them in the head. You're in the flesh. You need to go to the mountain and get it right with God. Hallelujah. You need more of the Holy Ghost to control you. It's one thing to speak in all these tongues. And some of us are so fluent. Maybe we went to college, tongues 101. No, I'm in tongues 505. I got a double doctorate in tongue speaking. But living like hell. I tell you, you can't have the fruit of the Holy Ghost and acting like that. God said, amen, in John 1, 1 John, amen. You say you have fellowship with him, but walk in darkness. You are a liar, and you're not doing the truth. You can't do the truth because the truth hasn't set you free. You haven't been transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. By the washing of the word. You come in humbly into the threshold of God's house. Enter his gates with an attitude of gratitude. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And then you keep going in the process of liturgy. Amen. And what's going to be in the court? You're going to meet up with a laver. What's the laver for? That's the word of God. It's going to, amen, richly and thoroughly cleanse you. God says, who can ascend to the holy hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a what? Pure heart. That's poetic language. It's really stating what happened, amen, in a reverse fashion. Your heart was right, so your hands knew what to do. Your hands don't know what to do because your heart isn't right. If your heart is right, then your hands are going to know what to do. Clean hands means you have, amen, holy activities. Thank you, Lord. This is what happens in today's church. We put the cart before the horse. We want all the good stuff before we allow the Holy Ghost to get it right. We need to get right with God. He'll show you how. Amen. That's what this verse of scripture is all about. Israel had to learn to rightly apply the word so that the nations around them would understand the biblical heritage that God was trying to show through them. Amen. It's supposed to be a road of restoration and revival for all times. So if the conditions are met right, the promises will be fulfilled. Amen. How to be prepared for God's promise. I'm in agreement with the late Dr. J. Barton Payne, who helped translate the New American Standard Bible and also the NIV, the New International Version, and how he comments about this verse. He says, this great verse, the best known in all chronicles, expresses, as does no other in scripture, God's requirement for national blessing. We want national blessing, right? Don't we, Americans? My God. And he says here, whether in Old Testament lands or in our own, it's one of the best examples. Those who believe must forsake their sins. See, people don't want to talk like that anymore. We must turn from the life that is centered in self and yield to God's word and his will. Amen. Then and only then will heaven send revival. So we got it all backwards. We want to get people feeling good. We want to get your blessing. We preach all around the meat to get to the dessert. But we don't want to be in the midst of folks who are almost saying something. They get to the main part and then they shy away from it. These preachers today are almost saying something.
Almost saying something.
My God, but we don't want to go home after we come out of church. We're going to go home and feel like all they served us was some Cool Whip. No. My God, you can't get much vitamins out of Cool Whip, can you?
No.
I need some veggies. I need some what? Some meat. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank God.
Hallelujah.
I need the medicinal process of the veggies to come in and cleanse me. Meat to give me some protein so I can have some muscles on my bones. Amen. Hallelujah. But folks today are feeding folk
Cool Whip.
My God, a whole bunch of peach cobbler. Don't have no greens, no black eyed peas. My God, just a bunch of dessert. But we need to get out of this dessert gospel and get back to the meat and veggies gospel. That's going to teach us of what sort we are when we're outside of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In other words, amen, our all must be placed on the what? On the altar. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Does the Holy Ghost control everything about you? Does he control it? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest when you yield him your what? Body and your soul. So when that happens, God will not delay his fire as he did in 2 Chronicles. Our praises directed towards heaven need to meet the heavenly standard. They must be completely holy. God's holy fire consumes. What does that mean? It completely fills. It uses up the space. Amen. Thank God. And must burn the dross of our disqualifications and metallurgy. They are heating the metal at such high temperatures that the dirt is removed. It floats to the top and they can scrape it right off. Thank God. And what remains is a nice, sparkly, shiny metal. Gold in its purity. Silver in its purity. God was seeking to purify the sons of Levi as a silversmith. Amen. Thank God. God wants us to grow as holy people. And as a church, we need to learn how to offer up praises to him from pure hearts. What's a pure heart? That's our motives. That's our holy purpose. And with clean hands, what does that mean? Our habits. Amen. God is into habits. Habits matter. That's why he wants to change some of our habits. But he doesn't do outside in. He does what? Inside out. If he could change on the inside, you're going to change on that outside. Amen. You're going to stop doing some stuff. But we can't, amen, be legalists and just make them stop doing stuff. That's what legalistic means. We're just going to make you like robots and do. Amen. I can only, amen, beseech you to read the scripture and lead you to the water. But can I make you drink? No. You have to want to do it. Amen. And God, amen, is using the worldly words right now. Where there's a will, what? There's a way made. Oh, we're going to make a way. We want to sleep with that woman across town, or we're going to make a way. We're going to make up some lie. We're going to get in that, amen, Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 bed. It's all perfume. Oh, my husband is away. He's on a long trip. Come on, let's make our fill of loves through the night. I'm quoting from Proverbs 6. 5, 6, and 7, them three chapters, amen. Talk about that whorish woman, amen. It's talking about sin, how it is. It's not just a woman. It could be a man, amen. It could be whatever is calling you away from God. Amen. And even the little things. God starts little. Amen. Just blink your eye. That's all I need you to do. Blink your eye at 3 o'clock. We can't even do that. 3 o'clock come, we doing something else, amen. God said, then I say, blink your eye at 3 o'clock. Gosh, I can't even trust you with the smallest thing. Then we can't mature and get something else. God's going to give your responsibility now to somebody else. Because you couldn't do it. We got to learn to obey God on the smallest things. When he says, close the potato chip bag, close the potato chip bag. After the 9th chip, close it up. Count the chips. They said serving size. We don't look at the serving size of the chip. We just go crunch them. And then turning the bag up, trying to get the crumbs out of there. My God, and going around the thing like that. My God, and licking the finger and going down. You supposed to look at the back of the bag. Serving size, see, 9 chips. We done lost count. I done lost count. I don't know. I'm on my second bag. I don't know what had happened. But we better start listening to what the Holy Ghost say. He gives us minute details. Then we look around. I don't know how got like this. I don't know. What happened, doctor? I don't know. Do you exercise? Yeah, I get up out of the bed. Yeah, I exercise. I go to the bathroom. Yeah, I exercise. Doctor's like, that ain't what I'm talking about. Is there any cardio? That's a big word. I don't know what that means. Did you do a push-up? Yeah, I pushed the candy bar up and I did it. I did forklifts so I could eat. You know, Jesus. It's the shame. And you know what they say? A moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. It takes forever to get that candy bar off. Took you a second to eat that thing. It's going to take 3 years to get it off. Now I got to get this candy bar. Gosh. Jesus, help us. So it's the tiny little things. Physical, that's just physical stuff. Does he care about that? Yeah, because you got a minister. What you going to do, minister outside of your body? I had an outside body experience and I just ministered to the folk. No, you need your body. So God is saying, yeah, be ye holy. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the what? Mercies of God, present your what? Body, your whole self. Body, soul, spirit. We good on the spiritual stuff. Pentecostal folk. Woo-hoo. Holy Ghost. E-robo-shondo. We got the Holy Ghost down. Know how to shout, do all the stuff, speak with tongue. Amen, folks. Amen. Growing legs in the house. It's miracles, you know. But what about the soul stuff? Now they're getting a little funky. They know how to get their little two-step and use it in the on the other dance floor. Oh, we can just transfer some skills over to the boogaloo section of town. So the soul is getting all mixed up. And then the body, forget it. We just want to do whatever to the body. But God is saying he cares about all of it. Thank God. So our mind, what is it thinking? Yes. We're looking across church. Well, I hate that lady. Look how she wiped the thing on her. She just thinks she cute, you know. And meanwhile, the preacher trying to preach. Well, I missed that point. What did he say? Number three was again. Amen. We got to watch what we're doing with our mind. Amen. So the fire is what? Not gonna fall. See, we need to understand this event. This event that happened in ancient day in a bigger picture, it represents what we need to do personally in our season of cultivation. God is trying to grow us up to be promoted as people of God's promise. We're at the conclusion. See, you can have glory, but you can't have glory without having first gone through the fire of God's presence. So God's presence comes to clean us up. Then his glory comes. See, if it is God that you exclusively need, it should be God who exclusively feeds. Amen. Think about that. Mm-hmm. If it is God that you exclusively need, it should be God who exclusively feeds. Amen. Yes. Here's another one to think about when you're leaving here. God's promises have perimeters. Amen. God's promises what? Have perimeters. Isn't Jesus like a fence of protection all around us? Why is that? Because sometimes, amen, there's stuff that's going to try to come from without to come in there. Wolves are trying to get in there. No, Jesus is going to protect us from that. And there's a such thing as trespassing. When you leave, amen, you could be going into a dangerous zone. Jesus is showing us the safety area. Amen. Thank God. And think about this when you try to apply this in the Holy Ghost, because that's how you apply it. Amen. God's promise is that if God will hear from heaven, why does that happen? That means he must have forgiven our sin. Amen. And he's ready to heal our land. What have we done before that, though? We're called by his name. Thank God. At least you're in there. Then you humbly submit when you're in there. And you what? Start praying. Praying is a two-way street. God's going to tell you some stuff. And you can't say, nevertheless, not your will, but my will be done. No, that's the devil's prayer. Amen. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. Pray. Seek his face. That means be a disciple. He's going to show you how to walk, how to talk, how to think. Amen. What to do, what to say, how to act, because he's going to transform you. Amen. Call by my name. Humble themselves. Pray. Seek my face and do what? When you're doing the will of God, you're going to automatically what? Turn from the wicked way and do the holy thing. Then you will be in there. And then he's going to hear from heaven. He's going to forgive. He's going to forgive you, and he's going to heal your land. Amen. So God's prerequisite, the essential conditions of our preparation, the requirements thereof, is that the Holy Spirit is allowed to guide us back to God's camp as we humbly pray and seek his face, turn from our what ways that are not godly.
We of the Realm of Agape Christian Church pray that the Holy Word of God has richly blessed your soul. To send prayer requests, use the contacts page of our website, www.roagape.org. We need your continued prayers and financial support to maintain this ministry. You can also find a secure means of donating on our website. God bless you.